The Open University has more visually impaired students than any other university in the UK. So can studying there really improve your chances of finding employment when you finish your course? Well, joining me now to give us a better idea is Jeff Bashton, who is the Visual Impairment Advisor for the Open University. Jeff, firstly, can you tell me a bit more about your role as Visual Impairment Advisor?
My job primarily is to advise staff in the regions and nations, and where appropriate, to talk to students. And depending on the accessibility of or issues raised, I'll then talk with curriculum managers, the people who manage the learning materials for a particular module or qualification.
Let's take a look at the benefits of doing an open university course as opposed to the traditional way of studying at colleges and universities.
Well, the benefits of studying with us are many and varied, really. We have no entry requirements. We're very flexible. People can study when it suits them. If you think about it, effectively, you're provided with very high-quality lecture notes and other materials. We provide you with a very clear study planner, what you're supposed to have studied by when. A particular benefit for blind and partially sighted students, many modules are available in what's known as a DAISY format, a highly navigable audio format. In fact, we have something just slightly in excess of 120 modules available in that format. And of those, 98 have both audio and text. So often, as well as listening to a recording that's human read, you could search for a word or, you know, look for a page or a heading, etc.
Okay, and as far as you're aware, is this quite unique in terms of
I think
study?
What's unique probably is that, if you like, your lecture notes are available to you in an accessible format. It may happen elsewhere, but it wouldn't happen to the depth, because obviously we're distance learning, and to some extent we have to guess all of the students' needs because they have much less access to tutors, etc.
And does Open University have quite a bit of experience of dealing with people who are blind or partially sighted as students?
Yes, I mean, the Open University has been in existence for just over 40 years, and we must have had blind students, blind and partially sighted students, right from certainly years one or stroke year three, very early on.
Can you give me some kind of idea of how many blind students would be studying with you just now?
Yeah, we have 1,500 blind students at the moment, and that's 6% of the disabled population are studying with us. You must remember that we're pretty large. We have something in excess of 185,000 students. What's also interesting, that bear in mind that blindness and partial sight is a low incidence disability, so it's not many of them per 1,000 or per 100,000, and we have twice the national average.
Right, okay. Yeah, that puts it in perspective for us. So you mentioned that lecture materials, for example, are available in accessible formats. You mentioned a DAISY format. Now, am I right in saying that the students would need access to a DAISY player then in order to use the DAISY format?
Yes, well, a number of things there. One is, if they don't have one, we would provide them with some free software for playing DAISY. Many blind and partially sighted people already have DAISY players, so they can play them that way. People who have some screen readers also have a DAISY player. In the main, I'm happiest when people use a software player, because that gives them access to the text as well as the audio.
That's great that the actual material that students will need is available in any format, I guess, large print and audio and DAISY as well. What other support does the OU offer for visually impaired students?
Well, our website is obviously accessible. Sometimes there are issues with software tools or third-party websites, but our websites are accessible. We also have our regions and nations talk to students and help them with module choice and help them look at accessibility issues, because obviously some subjects or modules are less accessible or more difficult, such as science and languages. So we help there. Also, what happens is that, if you like, there's almost a needs profile. Students, in consultation with regional staff, have what's called a profile, and the associate lecturers can look at that profile, so they know straight away if a student has particular needs, and then they dialogue with each other so that the a tutor or associate lecturer can help meet those.
Okay, so students really are treated on a sort of an individual basis, to, you know, depending on what their needs are. And I say that's I guess that's across the board for people who might have, you know, not just sight loss but additional disabilities as well.
That's right. The mechanism of the profile is a way of gathering student need and communicating it to a wide range of staff, and that's pan disability or pan particular needs really. And in addition to that, we also have a sort of well organised, what I call, let's say, communication system between our regions and nations and HQ. So there's ways of requesting accessible format. There's ways of requesting assistance at residential schools. There's ways of assistance with examinations, you know, extra time, location, etc.
Obviously, you're a university, so you have courses across the board. But if you can give us an overview of what kind of courses are available, and especially if there's any courses that might particularly be of use to blind or partially sighted people who are trying to gain employment at the end of it.
Sure. I mean, I spoke about DAISY earlier, the over 120 modules available, and that goes across the curriculum. So it would be arts, social sciences, maths, computing, technology, science, languages and music, right across the spectrum. I guess the ones that blind and partially sighted students tend to think of when they're thinking vocationally tends to be the computing.
Yep, we do live in the 21st century, it's the way we're going, isn't it? Do you offer any guidance then once someone signed up as a student at the OU? Do you offer any guidance, once they're reaching the end of their studies for how to get into employment?
Well, we've got a number of things. I guess what I should have said earlier is we do actually have a booklet called Studying with Little or No Sight. So we help people in. We do have careers guidance services, yeah, which people can access right from the very beginning. You know, they could talk to careers guidance at year one. And we have accessible books on careers planning, how to write a CV, tips on interviewing. And that's available up to 3 years after people have finished with us. So, yeah, I think people often don't appreciate that we have quite a sophisticated career service.
Now, the last question, I guess, is how do we get more information?
What most people would tend to do, it would be to ring our Student Registration and Financial Support Service. And the phone number for that is 0845 300 60 90. And then obviously, because we're distance learning, we have a significant presence on the web. So that would be www.open.ac.uk. And then follow links to contact and then follow another link to email.
Thanks to Jeff Bashton, the Visual Impairment Advisor from Open University, for speaking to me there. And a reminder of those contact details if you would like to find out more about courses and support available from the Open University. The number is 0845 300 60 90. That's 0845 300 60 90. You can also log on to www.open.ac.uk.